And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look throughout the Bible, and what we're going to do is we're going to learn the dangers of unwise comparisons. Right? I'm not standing up here before you tonight and saying, look, if you've ever compared yourself, you're a wicked devil, or, you know, that all comparisons are bad, right? Because there are some times in life where we do need to compare things, you know, and that's making a judgment. We've talked about that before. But tonight specifically, I'm going to focus mainly on unwise comparisons because, you know, in today's day and age with the avenue of social media, it's very easy for people to get on there and portray themselves as having life put together, right? And if we're not careful, I mean, ignore the fact that a lot of times it's just fake. It's not what it seems. So let's just be honest, right? Everybody's got problems. But you know, what if it is? What if some people just have their stuff together? Is it wise for you? Is it wise for us to look at that and start comparing ourselves to them? You know, look at that homeschool mom, you know, she's got this many kids, I've only got this many, she can do all this stuff. You know what that's going to do? It's going to cause you to get bitter. It's going to cause you to go, you know, and slide back down the hill to where you were before. It's not wise. And we're going to see that tonight in the Bible. I've been planning on preaching this for a while, but it kept getting pushed back and pushed back. I got pushed back last week because of the lady that decided she wanted to try to head on collision with some of our church members, and so I figured I'd preach about that. If you remember here last week, we preached about paranoia, which is a destructive mindset. Well, so is unwise comparisons. When we get into this frame of mind where we think it's okay to just compare ourselves to especially the type of people that Paul's talking about here, it's going to destroy you, I guarantee, every single time. So look down at the verse one more time. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number. So apparently there is always going to be a number, a specific group of people that will always be around that are not wise, that we shouldn't be numbered with, right? You know, and obviously I understand this goes against society today. Oh, nobody's bad. Nobody's really wicked. To each his own. Now, that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, hey, we dare not make ourselves of the number. We don't even want to be associated with these people that we're going to read about here. He says, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, right? So there are people out there who commend themselves. And when I read this, I tend to think of scholars, theologians, you know, these Bible college type professors. It's like, hey, who are you really trying to please? Are you trying to please a board of directors? Are you trying to please society? Or are you actually trying to study to show yourself approved unto God? Which one is it, right? But there are some that commend themselves, some that say, you know what, I'm where it's at, right? We are the tough ones. We are the mighty ones, right? It's not what God's saying, but it's what these people are saying. It says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So you say, why shouldn't we compare ourselves with people who commend themselves? Because those people are not wise. So when you run into somebody or you are following a group of people and it seems like they have it all put together, you need to ask yourself, are these people, is this person somebody who commends themselves? Is it somebody that has to constantly tell you how good they are, how good they are at life? Or, and this is why I think social media can be very dangerous for people, especially new believers in Christ, because it's, like I said before, it's so easy to just paint this beautiful picture of your life, right? And who's going to know the difference? You know, you got, I've seen people post things on Facebook or pictures of themselves, and then you see them in real life, and it's like, whoa, man. You know, like sometimes when I'm at work, right, I'll call somebody up. Hey, I'm going to be 15 minutes or 20 minutes to your house. And they act kind of weird. I do this. I look them up on Facebook, right? I try to find them because I want to know what I'm getting myself into. And it has saved me on numerous occasions. I'm not trying to compare myself to them. I'm trying to figure out what this person's about. Why are they acting weird? You know, and I'll see their profile picture and then I'll knock on the door and I'm like, whoa, I could tell it's the same person, but it's definitely not the person I saw on Facebook, right? So, you know, that type of behavior is out there, and it's dangerous for us to compare ourselves to those type of people because they aren't wise. If you're going to compare yourself to somebody, do it to a wise person, okay? That would be commendable. This isn't. And so point number one this evening is an unwise comparison is you measuring yourself against somebody that commends themselves. Let me say that one more time. An unwise comparison is you measuring yourself against somebody that commends themselves. Somebody who puffs themselves up. Somebody who tells you that they're a big deal. Look, when somebody's got their life put together, you know what? It's usually pretty prevalent. It's usually everybody else saying something about it, not always them. Oh, look at me, look at me. When I was in high school, I had this, I don't know how I met this guy or even why, but He always just seemed to hang out with my friends and I, and he was the biggest one-upper you could possibly imagine. I remember one day, a special day as a teenager, I got a motorcycle, right? I wouldn't recommend that today, but, you know, I had a motorcycle when I was 16. And, you know, the guy's like, oh, I want to come over and see it. And so he comes over here, or over to my house, and he's like, oh, I know somebody who just bought two brand new Gixxers. And I think he's going to buy some Ninjas. It's like, oh, okay, you came all the way over here just to tell me that. Right. You know, he was just one of those people that whatever you did or whatever you were going to do, he could do it better. And if he couldn't, he knew somebody who could. And he was always commending himself, always puffing himself up, always trying to tell you how smart, oh, I got all these A's. Oh, I'm like 2 points above genius. The only reason I'm at school is for tax reasons. The only reason I'm at school is because my dad, you know, he's a cop and blah, blah, blah. And these types of people are a nightmare, right? But when you allow yourself to hang around these types of people, you tend to get influenced by them. And what I mean is they kind of rub off on you and you start to second guess yourself like, well, maybe this person does have it together. You know, maybe I am not, you know, as good. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to make unwise decisions, because that's why Paul's saying, hey, look, the Corinthian church, they were jacked up. Right? Let's just be honest. They were messed up. And this is the second time he's writing to them. And he's like, hey, remember in the beginning, you guys were, you know, oh, I was baptized by Apollos, or I was baptized by Paul, right? That's not a wise behavior. Okay. And we're going to see that here in a moment as well. Now turn to Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9. So comparing yourself to somebody that commends himself is unwise. You know, these people haven't been vetted typically. They haven't been proved. They haven't proved themselves. And like I said, because when you run up to somebody that has proven it, that has done the work, take, for example, a special forces person, right? They don't typically talk, you know, about it a lot. They're not always going to be trying to convince you that they made it through something so difficult, right? You know, it's usually the person that's trying to pretend that, these posers, right? Like the Stolen Valor. Who's ever seen them Stolen Valor videos, right? You know, they have the guys that go around with cameras and they catch people wearing military uniforms and like, that's not right. Those ribbons aren't right. You know, they start questioning them. They can tell that they're faking it. They got a Navy SEAL badge. When I was in the military, I met this kid right after basic training. We all graduate. He goes right down to the PX and he buys a Ranger tab, parachute wings, and just all these different medals, because you can buy this stuff, right? I saw him at the airport in Tacoma or in Seattle. I'm like, dude, what happened in like the last 2 days? You went to jump school, you went to selection, you went to all these things. He's like, I'm just trying to get girls, man, just shut up. You know, it's like, dude, you're so fake right now, you know, but that stuff's out there, even by service members. And all I'm trying to tell you is that when somebody really does have their stuff put together, they're usually more than willing to help you out, and they're not bragging about it, right? They're not constantly commending themselves. And again, sometimes I think that people do this on Facebook, even unintentionally, you know, they just don't realize they're doing it, and they just, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. You know, just subconsciously, look at how great this is. Oh, my kids, you know, they just sit down 12 hours a day and they do all this work. It's like, really? We all have problems. Last time I checked, we're all human, okay? And so you just need to realize that. You catch yourself thinking about this. You catch yourself following these people. You start to feel down. You know, you need to just remember, is this a person who's commending themselves? And if it is, you need to take a step back and get that. Look, this is a destructive mindset. This can tear people apart. I'm telling you, it's true. Jeremiah chapter number 9, look at verse 23. It says this, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he may understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So what is your goal? Is your goal to please God? If it is, then you're going to delight in the things here in verse 24 that God has told you to delight in, right? Because he's eternal. He's the reason why you have everlasting life. He's the reason that you are what you are, right? And when we say, no, I just want to commend myself, or I'm going to compare myself to those who do, you're not going to fulfill things in this verse. You're not going to glory in the right things. And that's what we need to remember. We need to glory. If we're gonna boast, or we're gonna do something, we need to boast about God and what he's done, right? We go out, it's not like, oh, 10 people saved, next soul win, 18 people saved. You know, look at me. Oh, so you must not be in the spirit, brother. You don't get, you know, multitudes of people saved every time you go out. You know, that is not a good mindset. Yeah. And you know what? Somebody, even worse, somebody who looks to those types of people and says, wow, man, I must be jacked up. Right. No, that person is commending themselves, right? Yeah. And even if it was true, most people that do wind up getting a large group of numbers saved, they're just like, hey, you know, all glory to God. Yeah, we do save people. Yeah. Just like Paul said that I saved some, right? There's nothing wrong in the world with saying that, but there is something wrong when you commend yourself about it. Because you're going to wind up bringing other people down with you, and it's a destructive thing. We need to take heed. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. So again, a good tip. What I see here when Paul says, hey, you know, we dare not make ourselves of the number, that tells me that we really need to be aware of the attributes of people that commend themselves. Because it's dangerous. It could destroy. I mean, think about it. He's writing this letter to them the second time with the hopes that they don't lapse and go back to the way that they used to be. Right? Think about it. They were pretty messed up, weren't they, when you read 1 Corinthians? I mean, this church did not have just about anything right. Doing all sorts of wicked stuff, all sorts of just garbage. And you know what? A big problem that they had was basically just commending themselves. Hey, I've got a psalm, I've got a hymn, I've got a word of knowledge, I've got this, I've got that. Just fightings, envy, strife, all of these different things. And so what I see here is that we need to make sure that we don't dare make ourselves of the number. So we need to be aware of other people around us who might have this mindset because it can destroy you. Now, Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 12. It says this, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So point number one, an unwise comparison is you measuring yourself against somebody that commends themselves. So what does that mean? That means you need to be aware of people that commend themselves, first of all, and don't pay attention to them. Don't pay attention to them. I mean, this is the reason why believers say, you know what? I'm going to go to Bible college so I can be smart like that theologian, so I can speak as well as that person can. Next thing you know, they're thousands and thousands of dollars of debt, and they don't even know the Bible.
Yep. Yeah.
They start churches, and they can't even tell you what's in Matthew chapter 23, let alone Matthew chapter 24, or Mark 13, or Luke 17, Luke 21. You know, they can't tell you any of that stuff. Why? Because they spent so much time listening to somebody who commended themselves, and the Bible says that those types of people are unwise. So what's the result of us comparing ourselves with the unwise? We become unwise as well, right? We need to take heed against that. Now, stay in Matthew, go to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. And look down at verse number 1, Matthew 18, verse 1, it says this, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? This is after Matthew chapter 17, when they had that tax debacle. They're like, okay, well, that's taken care of. More importantly than that, who's going to be the greatest, right? Who's going to be the best? You know, you constantly see the disciples doing that, comparing themselves among themselves. And during this time, would you look at them and say they're a really wise group of people? I mean, to some extent, but not yet. Not really, right? There's some attributes that Jesus is trying to get out of these guys. And look at verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Right? So that guy that cussed at you guys earlier today, he's the exact opposite of this guy here in Matthew chapter 5, or 18, verse 5, right? He's somebody that's probably going to get quite the whooping when his time comes to go to hell. Yeah. But Jesus is telling them, hey, you know, it's not like you guys think. It's not like you're going to just be like Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and that's going to be you forever, you know? Because these guys, what are they doing? They're comparing themselves among themselves and saying, well, I've done this, I've done that, you did this, but I did this. And so they're disputing amongst themselves, and they're like, okay, let's just ask Jesus, who's going to be the greatest? Is it going to be one of us? Is it going to be somebody else that we don't know? Who is it? And Jesus responds to them with the example of a little child, a humble little child. And so obviously the first application here is that unless you're saved, you know, you're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven at all, right? But there's another teaching here. Now, point number two is this. Comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and it's unprofitable. Comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and unprofitable. You have to remember here, while Jesus is talking to these guys here, there's other people around. There are other people hearing these disputes, right? And it's not the first time these guys have done this. And so he wants to make sure that people in the audience, that they're going to hear, hey, you, first of all, if you want to be great at any capacity, you need to be saved. You need to have the new man. You need to be forgiven, because it's not by your will, it's not by the will of man, but by the will of God that you're born again. So that's number one. And number two, unless you convert your pride, believer, after you're saved, unless you convert to the proper mindset, you're not going to really achieve anything for God anyways. Because we've all seen the people that come into church and they think that they're all that in 18 buckets of chicken. Holy, super duper, powerful, separated, Bible-believing Christians got it all put together. What happens? They couldn't give the gospel out of a wet paper bag. They couldn't give the gospel to somebody if you painted them a big old portrait about the size of this banner and wrote all the words on it. It's true. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's the fact. It's reality, and you know it's true. And why do people get to that level? I'll tell you why. Because they compare themselves to people in the unsaved world. That's why they do it. They look to the speakers that are on, you know, that go to these TEDx conferences, and, oh, that guy's really wise, and he's making a lot of money. He's got a lot of success. And he still has a family, and he still has morals, and he still has this. Well, God wants the best for me. I should have all that too. Right? And so these types of people adopt that mindset and come into church and cause hell. Right? That's what I think Jesus is also saying here. He's like, hey, first of all, you need to be saved. You don't need to be like the heathen and compare yourself to the world. If you're going to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to this book and see how you're doing. Use this book as the standard, as the measurement for your comparison. Don't worry about the guy next to you. Everybody has different talents. Everybody has different abilities. Everybody has different life experiences, right? That's what he's saying here. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. You know, when I was working at the shipyard, I'll tell you two instances. The last time that I was in Japan, I was getting really close to getting what they call your mechanic's wages, being a full-fledged journeyman, temporary services pipe fitter. Now, while I was over there, I was working for this guy, and this guy was just a moron, straight up, you know. And I remember one weekend, he's like, "Hey, Kaylin, who is this girl?" I'll explain more about that in a minute. He's like, "She's having a birthday party, okay? And I want everybody to be there." And he looked at me specifically. He's like, "Hey, make sure you show up." And then afterwards, he pulls me aside after work. He's like, "Hey, I know that you applied to get your, you know, your mechanic's wages and stuff." He's like, "You need to make sure that you're going to be at this birthday party. I don't want any trouble. I don't want her getting upset." And you know who she was? She was nothing. She was just another worker. She looked like she stepped out of a Cosmopolitan magazine, to be honest with you. And that's why these guys acted the way they did around her. Catch my drift, right? And so he's really wanting to please her, you know? And he's like, "You just need, all of you need to make sure, well, I didn't show up." And she got mad. She got real mad. You know, and he didn't say this, but he kept hinting around, "You're never going to get that promotion because you didn't go to that birthday party. You pissed her off," which is going to piss a lot of other dudes off, because people were always trying to get with this girl. Always. And she knew it, and she had power, right? But, you know, what's my second point here is comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and unprofitable. So in this story here that I'm telling you, I made the decision not to go. Right? I said, "I don't want to be like these other people." I decided not to compare myself to the other guys who had applied for the same position. And guess what happened? Like, literally a week later, I got the promotion. Amen. This guy was so upset, he didn't even want to tell anybody. In fact, I heard him, or several people came up to me later and were like, "Man, you should have heard the stuff that he was saying about you. And he's trying to figure out if you're selling drugs to people or what the deal is, how you got this promotion." And she was upset. You know, and she was kind of a latecomer into our trade. She came from another trade and just kind of rose up the ladder really quick. And she was really mad about it. But there was nothing they could do about it, you know, because God had my back. I decided, you know what, I'm not going to compare myself to these people. I'm not going to try to go with the flow. And God decided at that time in my life to reward me for it. So that's why I'm saying, hey, comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and it's unprofitable. It may not seem like it's unprofitable, but it really is. As a believer, we don't get to play the same way the world does. Right? So when God says, "Hey, I see you making that right decision," you know what? He's probably going to reward you for it. He's going to bless you for that. You're there in Proverbs chapter number 24. Look at, let's see, let me get there myself. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." What does that sound like? Sounds like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. We dare not make ourselves of the number. We should not be envious against these types of people. We shouldn't desire to even be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Several years later, after I had already gotten promoted to supervisor, they hold you in like this probationary status for 2-3 years because it's a big deal. And they're always coming after you. They're watching you. They're always trying to, you know, catch you doing something wrong. And it's just the way the culture was there. Well, it was getting close to time for me to become permanent. Once you're permanent, man, you literally would have to stab somebody, do some kind of a horrible thing to a woman, and then even then you probably wouldn't lose your job, just your position. I mean, once you're permanent, you're permanent. Even if you did get busted down, you keep that same pay for like 2-3 years, and then you get your job back. It's, you know, the government's wicked, but that's how it works there. Well, this guy, he's like, "Hey, there's this banquet at a bar. The superintendent likes to see everybody. People that don't go, they don't wind up going permanent, or they don't wind up staying in their position." I'm like, I've already been down this road. Said, "I'm not going, right? I'm not going. Are there going to be people drinking there? Yep. I don't want to be there. I am not going." And he's like, "Dude, you have to go. You absolutely have to. People are already talking about it. They already know you're going to do this. They already know you're not going to go. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you. You've got to go." You know, everybody's doing it. Look around. Look, he's like, "Look at your peers. Look at the other supervisors. They're all doing it." He basically, what he's telling me is, hey, number yourselves among these people. Yeah. Guess what? I didn't go. Next day, he's like, literally, he didn't say a word, just shook his head, kept on walking. Guess what happened? 2 weeks later, I became permanent and got a raise. I'm telling you, look, I don't make this stuff up, man. It's true. Amen. The Bible is full of this type of wisdom. And I promise you, when you apply this stuff, you will see the fruits. Amen. Right? And I remember him just like, what is it about you? Everybody hates your guts, but you just keep coming out on top. Amen. I don't get it. You know, I got all kinds of stories like that too, where God just like pretty much brought me up to the riverbank where I thought literally I'm going to drown or get eaten by these crocodiles. And then at the last second, bam, there's a way, you know. And hey, all of you could probably think back into your life of stories like that. And that's what I'm telling you. Comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and unprofitable. They have the way that they think is going to get them what they want. And sometimes that works for them. You know what? It worked for a lot of those guys to go to the bar, to play softball, to do all the antics, and to basically suck up. That doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for God's people. We have a different program that we have got to follow, right? Now turn to, turn to James chapter 4 and just listen to this. I'm going to read for you Psalm 33:10. It says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." In both of those stories that I told you, that is so true. God brought that wisdom that they tried to give me, he brought that to nothing. Because now they're probably like, I just imagine, like after telling me that and it didn't happen, they had to feel pretty stupid, right? Yeah. Like, well, I'm never going to tell anybody to go to this thing again because it didn't work out. This guy still got promoted, defied the odds. How does that work? That's not cool. So James chapter 4, look at verse 10. Here's what we need to do about this. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." This is where it's at, right? First thing, we need to make sure that we're not ever comparing ourselves to the unsaved world. Because look, the unsaved world, they do, a lot of them do have stuff. You know what? Ask Brother Jeff, anybody who does service, you will go, you're a plumber, electrical, appliance, HVAC, you're going to go to these rich people's homes. I call them rich. They might not even be rich, but they look rich to me, right? And guess what they have? 5-car garages, 4-car garages, the big RV garage, right? They live in a neighborhood with an infinity pool. Is that what they call it? An infinity pool, right? And I mean, they got their noses to the high heavens. They got it all put together, man. They have maids that come over and clean. They've got the Land Rover. They've got the jet skis. They've got the boats. They've got all of this stuff in the, you know, what happens sometimes is that Christians look at that stuff and they're like, man, wouldn't that be fun? Now, wouldn't that be something? And then you start comparing yourselves to these people. But the problem is, those types of people commend themselves. You're not going to find a Mormon really giving glory to God. Right? I was at one of their houses today, and it was just, oh, we do this and we do that. My husband does this. He's a bigwig, blah, 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 blah. Just completely bragging about everything. Oh, we, you know, oh, so you just basically, oh, you just fix appliances, huh? Just, that's it. Yeah, that's it. And obviously you can't, and that's why you called me. You know what I mean? People have, but you see, they have this attitude. Now, if I were to compare myself to these people and let myself get envious, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to backslide, and I am going to become an unwise person. You see, you can't just look at somebody and be like, oh, you don't have all this wealth. You must be unwise. That's the way the world thinks. That's not what you're going to find reading the Bible. Right. You know what? They have no idea what we're about. You know what? Someday, if they don't get saved, they're going to stand at the great white throne judgment and see me and see Brother Jeff and see all of you and be like, man, I messed up. I went wrong. That's and you right. know that's true. Right. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's where it's at. Not comparing yourselves to these unwise people. It's not for you. It's not for God's people. Turn to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9. So point number one. The unwise comparison is you measuring yourself against someone that commends themselves. The Bible says, Paul said very specifically, if you do this, you will become an unwise person. Point number two, comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and it is unprofitable. It might be profitable for the heathen. It is not profitable for you. And you say, well, I know Christians that did it and they got rich and they did this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, guess what? How's the judgment seat of Christ looking? Okay. That's what I want to know. That's exactly what I want to know. Look at verse 33. Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Same story, different gospel. Look at this. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? So when we read the story in Matthew chapter 18, it doesn't mention that they were disputing amongst themselves, right? Now, notice what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying, hey, I noticed you guys had a friendly little discussion over here, and I was just was curious what you guys were talking about. No, he's like, hey, I know you guys are disputing. Look at verse 34. But they held their peace. Why did they hold their peace? It's kind of like the little kids that get caught with the cookies, right? And they're like, why did you do that? And they're just like, yeah. That's how these guys are acting right now. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Point number three, unwise comparisons lead to unnecessary disputes amongst the brethren. Unwise comparisons lead to unnecessary disputes among the brethren. See, these guys are walking through, they're just going on to their next mission and decide, you know what, let's just have a little argument here about who's going to be the greatest, who's going to be the best. And guess what? That was unnecessary. It didn't need to happen. We don't need to be a church that's comparing ourselves amongst ourselves and just, you know, trying to one-up everybody because guess what? It's going to cause disputes. Yeah. Who's ever met the one-upper? Everybody in here has, and you know you have. What is always the outcome? Disputes every single time, right? It's a fight. It's arguing. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And that's why I think that this is brought up here. So the Holy Ghost is telling us, the narrator, hey, for by the way, they disputed amongst themselves, yeah. Right? Nothing's in the Bible by coincidence. Yeah. These words are here to teach us a lesson. That's why you can read the same story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you can get different points and different doctrine because the Holy Ghost is trying to show us something. And look, that is the fact. Unwise comparisons lead to unnecessary disputes. We want to be a church as much as possible dispute free. Now, we're never going to all agree on everything, and that's okay. That's what makes us real, right? Right. You know, when you run into a group of people and we're all in lockstep, we all agree 100%, somebody's lying, okay? Because we're all human. We all still have the old man. And some people just have different opinions. It's okay. As long as we have the same objective and we desire the same results. So, 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 14. So Paul tells Timothy this. He says, of these things, right? Of these things that I just taught you, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So if you're going to strive, if you're going to dispute, it needs to be over things and doctrines that subvert hearers. What does it mean to subvert? It means to overthrow. So when somebody comes in here and they're like, hey, man, I'm like Job. I don't sin anymore. right? And they whip out that big old cross and it's just blinding you. You know what? That's a person we need to dispute with, okay? Yeah. Not because we're trying to see who's going to be the greatest or who's right. Or, well, we are trying to see who's right and who's wrong. We know that we're right. But when you see those types of people, you know, his goal is to subvert people in this church, right? Yeah. There's no way you can look at our invitation and think, okay, well, I'm going to go down here. Look, anybody who goes to visit a church, you do a little bit of research first. If you have the information, you look at the invite and say, is this for me? He looked at that. He knew very well what we believed. Yep. And decided, I'm going to go there anyway. He was trying us. How strong are they? Can I convert them? That's why he left Brother Jeff his material, right? What do you have, a website? Yeah, he left a little business card. Oh, look at my website. You can see how I don't sin anymore. I'm so perfect. Oh, look at me. I'm better than Job. No, you're an idiot. Yep. And you look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, too. How's that? Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what causes shame when we decide, you know what? I am going to compare myself to those who are unwise. I'm going to try to prove myself to people that don't matter. You want to try to prove yourself to the world, guess what? They're going to get you to do all sorts of crazy stuff. Remember Jesus' brethren? Before they believed on him, how they said, well, just go to Jerusalem, go do these miracles over here. And he's like, no, I've got a mission to do. I'm not going to compare myself to you guys. You just don't get it yet. That's the attitude that we have to have, right? And that's why he's saying, hey, study to show yourself approved unto God. He's the only one that matters. Don't study to show yourself approved unto some theologian. Right, to get that attaboy, to get that pat on the back, that will make you unwise. That is not profitable. Look at verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now go to 1 Corinthians, and I'll show you this in action. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And so as much as possible, you know, we're supposed to live peaceably with all men, but especially the brethren, right? So if we're learning about something that can cause disputes, we need to take heed and we need to pay attention to that. And one of them is comparing yourself and just trying to be like, how many times you read the Bible this year? Oh, only 4? You suck. You got 10. Look, I see that stuff sometimes. Not here, but I've seen it. Oh, you only got 8 people saved this month? You suck, man. You're weak. You know, or they're just like, oh, just walk away. Yeah. Guess what? That's going to cause unnecessary disputes. We don't need to have those kind of disputes. That's the result of pride, arrogance, envy, covetousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 11. We'll show you what this looks like here. It says this, here's what Paul's telling the Corinthians. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And I like how Paul does this. He's like, look, I'm not just making this up. I didn't just hear this from someone anonymous. I heard this from the house of Chloe. So that means that he's saying, hey, look, you've been watched. Somebody that you know saw this behavior, observed this behavior, right? And they're not afraid to have their name thrown in the mix here. And it says that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Again, what are they doing? They're having unnecessary disputes. Why? Because they are comparing themselves among themselves and they are not yet wise. Yeah. And they became, did they get wiser? No, only after they, you know, only after they started taking heed to the letter that Paul wrote them did they become wise. Look at verse 12. I'm sorry, look at verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know what the driving force is behind Ray Comfort's ministry? It's self-glorification. It's wisdom of words, right? It's not, he's not like, oh, Christ sent me. He might say some stuff like that, but he doesn't really mean it, right? He wants to try to say, oh, look, I convinced convince these people to turn their entire lives around, to give up all manner of sin and blasphemy, to give it all up based off of my logic. Oh, look at that apple tree. You know what it produces? Apples. You know that building? Look, I'm not saying that that's not good stuff to use from time to time. It has its place, you know, but when you just go up to people and you belittle them on the commandments, and then you start saying, well, you know, trying to get them saved by logic, that's not going to work. It's the word of God that saves people, not the wisdom of words. This doctrine can be found throughout the entire Bible. Now, you don't have to turn there. You guys turn to 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to read for you a few chapters ahead. 1 Corinthians 14:26, which says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And the reason why he has to tell them that is because he already established in chapter 1, hey, you're having these disputes, these unnecessary disputes, solely because you're unwise and you guys develop this habit of comparing yourselves among yourselves. This is why he reiterates that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, is because, hey, this is one of your big deals here. This is like the foundation. You guys gave up the Word of God, you gave up all the application, and you started comparing yourselves amongst yourselves when you were all still babes in Christ. And all that happened was he got more and more and more carnal. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse number 3. It says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine which is according to godliness, look at this, don't miss this, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. I mean, how many times do we have to read this? Don't hang out with these people. If they won't change, they will change you if you don't get rid of them. Right? It's a problem. It's like it's all throughout the Bible. Verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So again, why in the world would I want to compare myself to somebody like this? It's not going to bring me real profitability. It may bring you a little bit of temporary success till God decides to bring the hammer down on you. But at the end of the day, you will suffer loss. I believe in this world and in the one to come. Verse number 10, look at verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So the beginning of the passage there, from verse 3 all the way down to verse 6, what do we see here? We see a problem, right? He's like, hey, Timothy, remember all the stuff that I've taught you, right? Make sure that you're on guard and that you protect yourselves from these disputes, from these problems, because it's going to ruin your church. You know, and he's probably thinking, look, I already had to deal with the Corinthians. You know, you're going to become like them, right? And then he gives them the solution to that. And my fourth point for you is basically the conclusion, and it's the basically the summary. It's the slam dunk for all of this. You say, okay, I get it. I'm struggling with it. And look, we all struggle with comparisons, unwise comparisons. Let's just be honest. It can hit you like a ton of bricks out of nowhere. Just because we deal with so many people and all of our information is just so easy to put out there these days, you know? Point number 4 is this. Contentment kills unwise comparisons. Contentment kills unwise comparisons. Look at verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So guess what happens when you learn to be content with your abilities, with the truth, and with the things that you have? You attain godliness. Now you have a foundation. Now you have the ability to study to show yourself approved unto God, which is what matters, right? And you will no longer be tempted to compare yourselves with those who commend themselves, because they are not content. Unwise people aren't content. This is why they dispute among themselves. This is why they stab each other in the back. This is why they always turn each other in. It's because of envy. That's where comparisons will lead. It's going to lead to envy. I don't have that. I need that. I want that. Or worse, you're going to be like, well, I could never attain to that because you don't really want to put in the work. And the next thing you know, you're out of church. You're not sowing. You're not reading your Bible. I'm not as smart as this person. I'm not as smart as that person. Who are you to decide that? Did God not make your brain? Did God not make your mouth and your ears? Right? So don't discredit God. If you have the desire to learn something and to serve and to do something, look, you can do that if you do it God's way. The wrong way to go about doing it is by comparing yourself to everybody and just allowing that to stress you out. No two people in here are the same. Some people get soul winning quick. Some people don't. It takes longer. But when you keep trying and you keep going for it, guess what? Then it comes. It will come to you. You don't think God wants to use you? You're crazy. You are out of your mind. That is your mindset holding you back, not God. Turn to Philippians chapter number 4. So I said point number 4 is contentment kills unwise comparisons. Look, we all struggle with this. And this is why I'm preaching this, because we need to recognize where this comes from and what it does and how to defeat it. And we've already seen that. And the answer, the solution to it all, is to learn to be content. You say, well, you know what? I'm just not that good at public speaking, right? So what? Admit it and get better. That's just the way it is, right? I'm not that good at reading. Okay, admit it and get better. Take steps to make yourself better. Ask somebody for help. Look at somebody who does have that gift, who is where you want to be, and get them to help you. Look, we're a church full of people that have different abilities and talents, and there's no reason, there's nobody left in here that wouldn't help you out.
Right.
If you want it. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He's like, look, it doesn't matter if I'm in bonds, if I'm getting beat outside of the Corinthian church, if I'm getting beat in Acts chapter, 13, 14, 15. He's like, I just learned to be content. It doesn't matter if I'm standing in front of King Agrippa, right? I'm in these chains and Felix is wanting money and I'm not going to give it to him. I'm content. He's like, I'm satisfied. I'm happy. That's the answer to this plague that can get us, which is comparing ourselves and the temptation to go along with it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Remember he told Timothy, he said, hey, and having food and raiment, therewith be content. You've got your clothing. You've got food. You got water. You've got all the necessities. You got all the basics. Hey, be content, be glad, because there's a lot of people that don't have that. So you sitting around in your chair, on your couch, by yourself, just moping, I don't have what this person has that lives on the east side of Taconic Drive off Eagle Road, right? We don't want to be like that, because those people aren't out winning souls. In fact, most of them are sending their children to these hell factories known as the Mormon missionary field.
Yeah.
Hebrews 13, look at verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is the truth that would do us all very well to settle down into our hearts and apply on a daily basis, right? Because guess what? Comparing yourselves amongst those who commend themselves is eventually going to lead. Envy and covetousness. And those are two roads you don't want to go down. Because look, the old man loves that stuff. It's like a magnet. Just wants to suck right up to it, and we need to be careful with that. Last place I'm going to have you turn is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now I'll show you a little bit here about Paul's attitude. So real quick recap. Point number one was an unwise comparison is you measuring yourself against somebody that commends themselves. And number two, comparing yourself to the unsaved world is unwise and it is also unprofitable. And point number three is unwise comparisons lead to unnecessary disputes, especially amongst the brethren. And number four is contentment kills unwise comparisons. Contentment kills unwise comparisons. Look at Paul's attitude here. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 5. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So Paul wasn't like saying, hey, I've got it all put together, and you guys are just terrible. He didn't just go and say, hey, darn it, Peter had all this time with Jesus. I only had, my short amount of time. He's saying, hey, look, I still, even though I was one as born at a due time, he's like, I still don't consider myself, behind the very chiefest apostles. And he was right. But he wasn't proud. He wasn't boastful about it, right? He's not trying to foster an environment where people are comparing themselves. Sometimes parents will have a temptation to do this. They'll compare their children to each other, right? They'll compare siblings to each other. Bad idea, right? You got to develop the leadership skills to teach them to grow and nurture in on their own. You know, or worse, they'll say, oh, you know, there's this other family, you know, on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram or on TV, you know, and they've got it put together. You know, there's this TV show where they got this mom and dad and they're Baptist and they got like, you know, a whole bunch of kids. And man, they sure seem like they have it put together. Yeah, because you don't see what goes on when the cameras aren't around.
Yeah.
Right? It's not wise for us to compare ourselves to those people. You don't really know how they are. Maybe they do have it put together, but you know what? I doubt it. Because you know what? Those people that film those shows, they're not going to come to these types of churches and select a family to follow around, right? Because they're going to see Brother David and Briley and Moses and these guys out soul winning and the ladies and see what happens when people freak out on you.
Yeah.
And the response.
Yeah.
Now, you think they would like that, but they don't. They don't want to see the real spiritual battle that goes on,
right?
So they're not going to come up to this church and be like, can I follow you around with a camera? And we just want to show the world that you guys are loving. No, not going to happen, right? Not going to happen. So that should tell you something, right? Don't look to these types of people. And especially don't tell your kids, oh, look, you should be more like them. You don't know them. You don't know what it's really like at their house. You know, I also think about this. You know, David, right? David was content. David, you know, out of anybody, being the young guy out of the family, all his brothers are warriors, they're out fighting battles, it could have been very tempting, and I'm sure it was, for him to compare himself to his brethren and say, you know what, maybe I need to do more workout. I can't go fight Goliath, right? But what does he say when Saul tries to put that armor on him, right? He doesn't look at all the other soldiers and like, well, they wear the helmet, they wear the breastplate, they wear this. You know, he's like, you know what, this just doesn't work for me. He knew himself. Because this just doesn't work for me. I haven't proved these yet. I'm content with my size. I'm content with my abilities. I'm content with who I am. And what happened? He slew the giant.
Yep.
Right? That's why I'm saying, hey, contentment will kill unwise comparisons every single time.
Good.
When you are comparing yourself to other people, you are not content with what God has given you, and you're doubting God. That's a big problem with this thing. You're like, oh, it's just like Moses. Oh, I'm not eloquent of speech. And God's like, dude, I made your mouth. Right? And he's like, oh, but still, fine, your brother can speak well. God is patient, but you know what? He does have his limits. He wants his job to get done, and the time is running out. Amen. So we need to learn to be content, because that is what's going to kill your desire and your struggle to compare yourself with other people, right? And this is something that I see new believers sometimes get, you know, pick up. They'll come to a church like this and they can tell you guys are with it. And I mean, you got an answer for everything because you've been out on the battlefield. You know what's going on, right? And they'll be like, man, I just can't get to that. But really, they're missing all the processes and all the steps that you took to get there. All the soul winning times that you went to, all the help that you asked from other people, the seminars, the videos, you put in the work, right? And that's what they need to understand. It takes work.
Yeah.
You know, it takes being content, knowing you're new, and that you just need to put one foot in front of the other and get it done.
Yeah.
Right? And the ones that do that go on to succeed, win souls, be a great warrior for Christ. They've got a great set of rewards waiting for him in heaven. And then the others that just want that shortcut and that fast track, they're not content with how they are and their abilities, guess what? They wash out. They're going to get to that judgment seat and be like, man, look at all this wood, hay, and stubble. I've got nothing.
Right.
And now you can spend the rest of eternity thinking about that. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, once again for the great truths that you reveal to us week after week through your word, Lord. I just pray you bless the songs, Lord. I pray you bless the fellowship after the service and the soul winning again tomorrow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Yeah.